Hey everyone, Pastor Mark here with Harmony Toluca Lake, and this is another short stories segment, part of the Our Story, the podcast, and we are so glad that you are joining and connecting with us today. We have the honor, the pleasure of one of Harmony's awesome people, Juan Carrillo. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You are always doing good. And so, well, today, you know, I'd love to have a light conversation with you, but we're going to have a switch about because next month is a very important month.
Yes.
And so this is a relevant topic, something that's very important. And but I want us to focus on our overall well-being. Okay. When I talk about well-being, it's a mental, emotional, physical, as well as spiritual.
Yeah.
So next month, which is coming up, is a dedicated month for suicide prevention.
Right.
And so why, in your opinion, is that important?
Because most of the people who have suicidal ideations feel invisible. They feel like no one is paying attention to them. They feel like they're a burden. They feel like the world would be better off without them. They have such intense pain and the voices that are telling them that they're not worth it, that there needs to be a time when we can reach out or learn how to reach out to them. You know, many people don't even realize there is a number to help. Call 988. And that can put you through to either a counselor or someone else, but it's a legitimate problem. And unfortunately, so many of us don't learn how to deal with our emotions, especially if we're of a certain age, like I am. We were brought up in the day where it was just like, oh, suck it up. You know, you're fine. Walk it off. Yeah, you know, don't cry. And so it's much later in life, once we start to kind of address that or discover that, that we learn that maybe we don't know what we're doing so well, you know? And it's very much a thing with, I find more with cisgender men, more than anything else.
Yeah, suck it up.
Suck it up.
Yeah, I'll give you something to cry about, right? Tough it out. Well, and also we see the huge impact on teenage youth, especially LGBTQ youth, in regards to this. But why in the world is there a dedicated month, a month?
Well, there's so much that goes into it because think about this. An LGBTQ person or even a trans person who is battling their identity and battling their very existence, and they don't know who to turn to, and they think something is wrong with them, or they think no one is going to understand them, or no one is going to love them. And I think that's a big thing we forget. No matter what we want our parents' love. We want our friends' love. We want our spouse's love. And the idea of going through life without that is devastating. I mean, think about this. If you have a pet you love and that pet just gives you all of this adoration and that love and that attention, and once that pet isn't there, how is it going to affect you? You know, and it's something as simple as that that you can take, you know, to your dealings with people.
But again, a month?
Yeah.
Setting aside a month?
Yes, very much so. In fact, it should be 2 months, 3 months if necessary. We have to get to a point where we can help people realize that mental health is important. And I think in some—
Because we shame around
We shame people like crazy. Right. You know, tell somebody you're in therapy. Oh, tell somebody that you're taking medication. Tell somebody that you're bipolar. In my case, I'm bipolar. And all of a sudden it's like, oh— okay. You know, and then the conversations or the way that they interact with you will change a little bit because they're like, well, I don't want to upset you. Everything is, I don't want to upset you, or are you okay? And it's like, well, I don't need that from you. I just need you to be my friend. And if I'm not okay, I've learned how to tell you I'm not okay or what I need to do.
Okay, so what are some of the misconceptions that you've encountered about mental health, self-harm?
Well, the idea that, oh, everyone gets depressed. You're fine. You just need to get out of the house. Everyone gets sad. You name it.
So they've just lumped some depression.
Everything is just lumped. Just lumped. You know, you're not feeling good about yourself. Go to the gym. Lose some weight. That's a big one. That is a big one. When you're heavy, that's a big one. Everyone lumps it all into you being heavy, you know.
So that's the reason why you're depressed.
That's the reason you're depressed. That's the reason you're sad. That's the reason you are just sleeping, you know, whatever. It's all lumped up into there.
So shaming mechanisms tying into depression, stating basically depression, all depression is the same thing.
Yes. There's many people who think that all depression is the same thing. And then what they'll do is they'll demean it by saying, well, I was depressed and this is what I did to get over it. Mm. And it's like, it's not the same.
Yeah. 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 So for you, and I know you've studied this, I know you've been learning more about effective strategies to support someone that's maybe struggling with self-harm, and what groups and organizations could individuals seek out for help?
Well, the first thing is dial 988 if you're in severe need. The second thing is look to NAMI, the National Organization for Mental Health, which is a great one. There's different organizations. If you're LGBTQ, call the Trevor Project. If you're trans, call Trans Lifeline. I mean, there's so many different organizations that are out there. Call the LGBTQ Center in Hollywood. You know, there are places you can reach out, and many times they're anonymous. So you can just ask for the information. They're not going to, you know, record your first and last name, phone number, social security. They don't, that's not their goal. Their goal is to save a life.
Do you think though, too, for, speaking from as a cisgender male, do you think there is a stigma about therapy, counseling?
Hands down. Because it's especially prevalent in ethnic groups. Because, for instance, Latins, the research I did, most Latins look down upon therapy. And I'm not saying all, but most do, especially those from rural areas, because you don't have access to it. So what they think most of the time is you need to go to church. That's what you need to do. Go to church, talk to the priests. You know, you've got the devil in you. That's what's happening. You know, and that's the other thing too. We are a melting pot of people. Everyone's beliefs are different. So from Catholic to Muslim to Baptist to what have you, everyone's belief is different. And so for mental health, you need to get to a point where you're figuring out how to deal with that. Because I can guarantee you, you're not going to deal with a gay youth the way that you would a straight white man. But by the same token, you're not going to deal with a African-American woman the same way you would a Latin woman. There are subtle differences, but you need to know them. And whether it's a man or a woman, gay, straight, trans, it does not matter. It's all a part of what's going on up here that needs the help that's off.
So you were talking about beliefs, and that leads me to a question about faith communities. How can faith communities provide a more supportive environment for health and well-being? What are your thoughts around that?
I think it needs to be addressed more and not made to be feel like it's a bad thing. I think it needs to be done in such a way where you feel like you can go into your church and go, I'm drowned in here. I'm drowned in. And that way you don't feel the shame of anyone else knowing. And before you know it, you'll have people kind of rallying around you that you might not have expected. And maybe giving you a little bit of the push or the lift up that you need to maybe think, okay, you know what? I'm not done. You know, let me try something else, you know, until I find the right thing.
Yeah. Would you have any advice for someone who's struggling to take the first steps in bettering their well-being?
Talk to somebody who's really close to you. Ask for help. The hardest thing you will ever do is ask for help, admitting that you're not okay. And once you can do that, then life can change. But you have to ask for it.
Right, but if it's been embedded in you, this is, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because if it's been embedded over the years that you aren't supposed to ask for help, that it's just you've got to shove it down, how do you break down that wall?
Sometimes it's faith. Mm-hmm. It's faith. You have to, sometimes it's that low voice. Maybe it's God, maybe it's a relative who's passed. Who knows? But it's that little voice that says, don't give up yet. Mm-hmm. It's not time to give up. And you finding the courage to ask for help, you know? And the other thing too is, if you notice that your family member or friend or whoever is isolating themselves and they're not talking, not communicating, they seem to always say they're fine, but you can look on their face and you can tell something's off. Be willing to have them mad at you. Press, find out. Are you okay? What's going on? Talk to me, you know? And you don't need to get them liquored up. You don't need to give them weed or anything like that. That's not a solution. What right. you need to do is sit down and actually talk, get them to tell you what's going on and give them a free space to cry. Mm-hmm. To just vent without judgment. Because I think that's also the biggest thing. Everyone feels like they're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. And once you can take that away, it gives you some liberation to let your feelings out.
So what I'm hearing from you is, if you are in need of help, ask.
Yeah.
But the situation around that is, you may not feel like there's anyone around you that you can ask for help because you'll be shamed or you'll be judged. And that could be close friend, that could be family, that could even be your pastor or whoever is a faith community leader. But we still have hotlines. Still have organizations that you can reach out to.
Yeah.
Yes.
988 is the best one to ask for help. Like I said, Trans Lifeline is another one. Trevor Project is another one. You know, there are tools out there. And if you're afraid of talking to somebody because you fear you're going to be judged, then these are other ways that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I don't think you know about me is I did spend a period of time, 3 months, working on a suicide prevention hotline. And it was an experience I won't forget, but it was also just being there to listen and support the person on the other end of that line and caring for them. And sometimes it was just listen.
That's the hardest part of all of this, is the inability we have to feel that we're being heard. I mean, imagine... And I know this is corny, but imagine being in a void, screaming at the top of your lungs, and no one hears you. Mm. So, but you're screaming so hard, and no one hears. That's many times how it feels. Mm. Then no matter how loud you scream, no one hears.
Yeah. Well, I am so glad to have this conversation with you. I know it's not the easiest. It's not a light conversation, but it is an important conversation. And
yes,
I just appreciate you being authentic and real with me and with the listening audience here for the short story segment. So thank you again.
You're very, very welcome.
Also want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of Short Stories. And again, our guest Juan Carrillo has been with us. So download, share, and like these episodes. And if you have a relevant topic that you would like me to address with someone, please let me know at mark@hollywoodumc.org. And in the meantime, enjoy this day. Peace.